what are we doing here? Why are we here? We got in cars from all over the place and we drove to this building. Why? When you walked in the door, what did you have in your mind? What were you thinking? What do we anticipate? What do we plan? Why are we here? In Acts chapter 20, verse 7, the Word of God tells us in their journeys that they came and they, on the first day of the week, the disciples came together to break bread. This is the centerpiece of our gathering. It is important, critically important. Great job this morning talking about the importance of this moment, of these times. But we've come together this morning to collectively present ourselves before God in worship. In John chapter 4, Jesus had an encounter with a Samaritan woman at a well. And in the discussion, she says, "Our fathers worshiped in this mountain, and you people say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship." Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, an hour is coming when neither in this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father. You worship what you do not know." Worthy of a pause right here. Are we worshiping a God that we know? "We worship what we know," says Jesus, "for salvation is from the Jews, but an hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For he says, such people the Father seeks to be his worshiper." He is looking for a particular kind or type of worshiper, and it is that worshiper who comes in spirit and in truth. He says that God is spirit. We can't touch him. There's no material existence of God. He's a spirit. Can't see him, but we believe in him. And those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. His word is truth.
That's right.
There's the truth right there. But the spirit part is always, or for a long time, has kind of puzzled me. Exactly what is he saying when we come together in spirit and in truth worshiping? Did we even have that in our mind when we walked into the door this morning, that I am coming with other people of like mind to worship God in spirit and in truth? If there was some way that we could perhaps open the curtain of heaven and look, here's what we would see. The four living creatures, each one of them, have six wings and are full of eyes around and within, and day and night they do not cease to say, "Holy, holy, 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 holy is the Lord God." The Almighty who was and who is to come. Is that in our mind? That we are walking collectively into this building, into the presence of a holy, holy, holy God, and approaching him as such. Amen. He is the Lord God, the Almighty. There's no greater power anywhere in any realm. Amen. Like the power of God. Amen. Like the might of God, and we are coming to him together. Amen. Who was, and who is, and who is to come, which is just beyond my understanding. And I'm going to talk more about this tonight as I talk about the God whom we worship and the God whom we pray to. But right now, I just want us to notice these characteristics. He is eternal, he is almighty, and he's coming forever. He is.
Hallelujah.
When the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him who sits on the throne, to him who lives forever and ever, here's spirit. The 24 elders will fall down before him who sits on the throne and will worship him who lives forever and ever, and will cast their crowns before the throne, saying, "Worthy are you, our Lord and our God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things. Because of your will, they existed and were created." What is it to worship in spirit? It is not physically necessarily, but in a spiritual, mental sense, to just fall down before Almighty God. And we are here just to honor Him and to give glory to Him, for He has all power. And this is what we should be thinking and pondering, considering as we come into this holy, holy, holy God, that we have come to acknowledge His greatness and His holiness. And we come to remember what He did, but we come into His presence. And we need to remember who we are. As 1 Peter 2 describes it, coming to Him as to a living stone which has been rejected by men, but is choice and precious in the sight of God. You also, as living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house for a holy priesthood. Why? To offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. You think what we do in here does not matter? That any of it is unimportant? It is a spiritual sacrifice. Sacrifices, the first big conflict in the Bible involved sacrifice with Cain and Abel. We are here to offer God a spiritual sacrifice. Now, everything in our life is an offering to God as a sacrifice. But today we're here for a special reason. On the first day of the week, we come together to break bread and to worship this great, great, great Almighty God who is holy, holy, holy. Hebrews 13 says, through Him then let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. Sacrifice. That is the fruit of lips that give thanks to His name. And He adds to that, do not neglect doing good and sharing, for with such sacrifices God is pleased. But when we lift up our voices to God, do we have it in our mind, here my God is my sacrifice to You. It's important. It matters. Our singing matters. It's not just punctuation in between the various important things. It in and of itself is an important thing. Every song that we sing, and we'll see some thoughts relative to that, but I want to go back to the Old Testament for just a few moments and consider some concepts out of the Old Testament. In 1 Chronicles 23, the scripture says the Levites were numbered from 30 years old and upward, and their number by census of men was 38,000. Of these, 24,000 were to oversee the work of the house of the Lord, 6,000 were officers and judges, and 4,000 were gatekeepers, and 4,000 were praising the Lord with instruments which David had made for giving praise. David had made these instruments for that purpose. David divided them into divisions according to the sons of Levi, Gershon, Kohath, and Merari. So clearly, instruments were used in praising God under the old covenant.
Yeah.
We see some 200 years later, under Hezekiah, the scripture says he then stationed the Levites. And I want us to bear in mind that David made the musical instruments for praise. He then stationed the Levites in the house of the Lord with cymbals, with harps, and with lyres, according to the command of David and of Gad the king's seer and Nathan the prophet. That's how they got their instructions. They referred to what David and Gad and Nathan had said, for the command was from the Lord through the prophets. So where did David get the idea to make the musical instruments? Clearly he got it from the Lord. The Lord said, you make these for praise. The Levites stood with the musical instruments of David and the priests with the trumpets. Then Hezekiah gave the order to offer burnt offering on the altar. We see the musical instruments in connection with the offering. When the burnt offering began, the song of the Lord also began with the trumpets, accompanied by the instruments of David, king of Israel. Worship was, it mattered to God. The singing mattered to God in the way that it was offered to Him, because it was in connection with the burnt offerings as He instructed David. The passage goes on to say, while the whole assembly worshiped, the singers also sang and the trumpets sounded. All this continued until the burnt offering was finished. Now, at the completion of the burnt offerings, the king and all who were present with him bowed down and worshiped. Moreover, King Hezekiah and the officials ordered the Levites to sing praises to the Lord with the words of David and Asaph, the seer. So they sang praises with joy and bowed down and worshiped. So we see the context and the direction that God gave for the singing. It mattered to him under the old covenant. Clearly, he told David what to make and how to use it. Well, 200 years later, after some Babylonian captivity, when they come back, it says, "Now when the builders had laid the foundation of the temple of the Lord, the priests stood in their apparel with trumpets, and the Levites, the sons of Asaph, with cymbals to praise the Lord according to the directions of King David of Israel." So there's a historical reference for 400 years of them designing their worship with the instruments according to what God had told David. Now, in the New Testament, what kind of instructions do we have? If we are seeking to restore, which is what was going on at the time of Ezra, what do we do? Well, the only thing that I know to do that we can absolutely be sure that God approves of and has pleasure in is what he told us to do. Since he gave them instructions on the instruments, on how to use them, when to use them, by whom to use them. So let's look and see what the New Testament has to say. In the passage that Lynn read earlier, it says, "Therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise." In fact, Mike and I were talking about after Bible class this morning about the will of God. What is the will of God, and how do we know what the will of God is? I mean, we're going to be told in the coming verse to understand the will of the Lord. So how can we possibly know what the will of the Lord is, except that he reveal it to us? So he says, don't be foolish, but walk like a wise person, making the most of your time because the days are evil. Indeed, they are evil, aren't they? And the evil of the day doesn't stop at the door. The evil is a perpetual struggle within each of us. But he says then, so then do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. To understand it. Earlier, he says, don't walk like an unwise man. Here he says, don't be foolish. So he says, and do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. Well, so what does a Spirit-filled life look like? What is that? Because we're getting connect singing to being Spirit-filled. Unimportant? I don't think so. I think that's a very important thing. To be filled with the Spirit. To walk by the Spirit. If I understand Galatians 5, the fruit of the Spirit is love, which is the most important thing. So he says, don't get drunk with wine. Don't let that be what has control of you. What influences you. But rather be filled with the Spirit. I love Ephesians because it's got a lot of full in it. The body, the church, is the fullness of him who fills all in all. He speaks of being filled with an unknowable spirit or love of the Son, of understanding that and then imitating that. But he says, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord. One of the things that I have discerned in looking at this very issue, because the first thing that a visitor would notice when they walk in is there's not a piano, there's not an organ, there's not drums, there's not a guitar, there's just vocal humans singing. God instructed David relative to the instruments to be used. Here we have instruction on the instrument to be used. And it's the human heart. God is listening to the human heart. Amen. Now, I know that we come in and sometimes our singing maybe is not beautiful to us. But you remember the verses reading through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John that talked about how beautifully Jesus sang? Well, do you? You know, if I'm to remember Isaiah 52, 53 correctly, it says that he was nothing to look at. That he did not present himself as a prototypical movie star person. I could only speculate about what his singing would sound like. But this I know. If we have a child, and that child comes to us singing just a terrible ragtag song, man, that's the most beautiful thing in the world. Because that's our child.
That's right.
We're making melody with our heart to the Lord.
Yeah.
Our Father is listening to our heart. I, for one, am thankful for that. But my wife, who is a perfect partner in all of this, once when I I'm self-conscious about it, but she said, you have the voice that God gave you. And that's the truth. And we all have the voice that God gave us. You and I both do. But we also have a heart that's engaged in this. From our heart, we are offering a sacrifice to God. That's a wondrous moment in time. And that's not a peripheral issue. Offering a sacrifice, I don't know anywhere in Scripture where God said, okay, bring the anything you want to and it's okay. But man, we take our heart to the Lord, and this is part of being filled with God's Spirit, which is a very important thing. Speaking to one another. There is that human component here. In Colossians 3, we have another passage that speaks of our singing, that addresses our singing. And the scripture says in verse 15 of Colossians 3, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Easy to have a troubled heart, isn't it? Don't let your heart be troubled. Some of the closing words that Jesus said to his apostles. Is your heart troubled this morning? He says, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. I pray you're thankful. I pray we're all thankful this morning. It's easy to get distracted from that with all of the issues of the world and even within our own lives. You know, we'll get up tomorrow morning and many of you will go into an office where it'll be colliding with headaches and heartaches and anxieties, and some will be going to school tomorrow and should have realized before you go to school that I really should have studied for that test. I had a dream the other night that I had to go take a test and I hadn't studied for it. It's a terrible feeling. But he says, let the word of Christ richly, richly dwell within you. Do we do that? Taking this word, the word of Christ, and seeking to hear the message out of it. To really absorb it in such a way that it richly dwells within us. With all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. With grace to God. Sometimes we may find ourselves, I don't know, we forgot to write the check, so instead of singing, we're writing a check. Or sometimes we're just sitting, and our mind is off drifting someplace else. And so as we offer a sacrifice with our heart to God Almighty with grace, holy, holy, holy God, and we're not thinking about it. What's going on inside of us? Singing with thankfulness or grace in your hearts. Quite often, and I appreciate David having pointed this out to us, we need to think about the words we're singing. And it's a very easy thing with me. I mentioned this in Bible class this morning. Very familiar Bible verses I can read, and my mind is wandering because I know what it says. Therefore, it doesn't make much of an impression on me. I can do the same thing with songs. I love the song, How Great Thou Art. Love that song. And I've sung it just when I'm by myself so many times. And sometimes I'm thinking about the blue skies or needing to go to the bank or something like that. While the words are coming out of my mouth, there's nothing in my heart connected to it. I am offering a sacrifice from my heart to God.
Amen.
Whatever you do in word or deed, he says, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. Always thankful. Always offering up that which I know he approves of, and that's me singing with my heart. 1 Corinthians 14, in the midst of the confusion in Corinth, he says, I will sing with the spirit. I will sing with the mind also. Amen. Thinking of what we're doing. Amen. The most important sacrifice, I guess, we could make, and this I don't want to minimize. In fact, I want us to maximize it. About the importance of the songs that we sing when we're together. For from our heart, we are saying, God, this is your sacrifice. And I don't have to offer my body, but we're going to look at the verse that says we do. But this I can give you. To offer my body as a dead sacrifice would serve no purpose. To lift up my voice, there's a song, a spiritual song called Listen to Our Heart. Please, God, listen to our heart. Maybe our voices are not the best. It might sound beautiful to him because it's traveling different terrain. But when we come into worship, may I say it this way, we step onto God's turf. We stand on holy ground because we've come into the presence of God. And everything we do is important. And that includes the songs that we sing, offering from our heart a sacrifice to our holy, holy, holy God.
Amen.
The church at Rome had issues. What church didn't? What church doesn't? As Paul is writing to them and trying to clarify some issues with them, when it comes to the practical use of this information, we need information. We need to seek to hear the voice of God in this information that we are given to us, and it to be more than just facts on a page. But as he wrote this, therefore I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. Is that how we come in? Do we come in our mind, mentally, spiritually, bowed down, face down before Almighty God? With the recognition that were it not for the blood of Christ, there's no way I could come to you. No way I could step in. And I offer myself now as a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable, the spiritual service of worship, and do not be conformed to this world. And it will squeeze you into its mold in a second. And we have to fight and resist that all the time, out there and in here. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind, a perpetual feeding of fresh information into our thinking, and be transformed by that, so that you may prove what the will of God is. There it is again, Mike, the will of God, that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. We come into the presence, you and I individually, but collectively today, come into the presence of a holy God.
Amen.
And we need to offer holy sacrifices.
That's right.
Because that's who we are.
Amen.
We are priests offering spiritual sacrifices to God. Not something you can touch or feel, but our very hearts. Let us always strive to give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness, which is what we seek to do. I have, through the years, probably talked a lot more about what we do out there than what we do in here, but we need to give attention to this too. Maybe special attention, because this is a very special hour involving very special actions and activities jointly done. We are going to sing in just a moment, but let's think of what we're doing. We're offering from our heart a sacrifice to God. And as we sing this, if anyone has need to respond, we want to encourage you to do that, whether it just be you and God, or if you need to get some public support, we'll give you that chance. Let's stand and sing, and you can come forward as we do so.